did not believe to see the goodness of the Lord. And the reality is we are going to faint if we don't keep our focus on the goodness of the Lord and what God is doing. As we looked at about back at this past Sunday, things were going wrong and things were, and Habakkuk didn't understand it. And Habakkuk goes to God and said, God, why aren't you doing something? And the Lord responds, I am doing something. He says, but you're not going to believe it. And then he turns around and says, Habakkuk's like, well, I don't like the way you're doing it. And God says, hey, I want you to live by faith. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live by faith. We saw Habakkuk's response. He prayed. He asked for revival. And then we also saw his dependence. So hopefully you have a burden for the people. Hopefully you have a burden for our nation. Habakkuk's burden was, God, why aren't you fixing my country? There's too much wickedness and evil. And God was doing a work and plan in Habakkuk's story. And it was a wonderful, wonderful encouragement this past Sunday to look at the story in the book of Habakkuk in a kind of little capsule type thing. I know many of you were encouraged by it, and thank you for your encouraging words. Back in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to be in chapter number 5 tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, and we've been through a lot of things of Ecclesiastes already. It's the picture that Solomon, the preacher here, is preaching how life is vain without God. We talked about how he was vain when it came to the wisdom. He had all this wisdom, but it was vain if it was put without God in the mindset. How about all the pleasures he had, all the accomplishments he had, all those different things, but without God, it really didn't make any sense. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, Ecclesiastes 5 is a little bit different in the setup that they have compared to some of the other passages of scriptures that we looked at. There's a lot about the vanity. Chapter 5 reminds me a little bit more of the book of Proverbs and the way that's written. And because there's so much meat in here that you can learn from, and you just read a verse and you're thinking, well, that makes good sense. I can apply it. Verse number 2, verse number 3. It's like almost a message inside each verse. And that's what's great about the book of Proverbs. But here the overwhelming theme in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 is more ready to hear. That's the title of tonight's message, is more ready to hear. Ecclesiastes is talking about Solomon and talking about his life and all the experiences that he had gone through. And then he learned something at the end of his life. And he says, I did all these different things. And at the end of his life, it's like, you know, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Here in chapter number 5, he's talking about going to the house of God. You know, people go to the house of God and they don't put God in the equation. They miss it. They miss what really is supposed to happen. And that's what he's talking about here a little bit. He's saying here in verse number 1, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And when I'm looking at that and I'm considering verse number 1, I believe what's being portrayed here is know how to behave in the house of the Lord. There is a certain expectation of the way that you should behave in the house of God. And the challenge that happens with that is different people have different opinions of what it is. And the important thing to understand is, what does the Word of God say? And we base things off what the Bible says, not what our emotions are. And here he says, look, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. He's saying, look, make sure that when you go to the house of the Lord, you're behaving yourself and you're doing what's right. But then he says also, and be more ready to hear. You say, Pastor, what am I supposed to be more ready than to do? Well, you think about it. Why do people come to church? We meet together to worship. One of the things we like to talk about is this is the place we meet with God. And here's the idea is that the house of God is the place where we should come ready to hear more than anything else. Once again, there is a service aspect of it. But how can we serve the right way without hearing from the Lord? There is a giving aspect, but how can we give without hearing from God? How can we know how to treat one another? How can we? But man has come up with so many actions and so many reactions when it comes to church that it seems like they can come to church, they can sit, they can be involved in everything that's going on, and God not speak to their heart. And that's scary. I mean, when you hear the music sung, it's not just that we come up there and we put it on the screen because of the fact we want to make sure the service lasts for an hour. That's not it at all. It's because we want God to speak to our hearts through the music. When we have special music, as my wife just sang when she came up in the song, there and that encouraged my heart. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. When we get ready to have in a little while our prayer time, we read the mission letters. All these things are giving an opportunity for God to speak to our hearts. Because that's what we need to do. We need to be ready to hear from the Word of God. So he says, "More, be more ready to hear Then he gives the illustration or the side note, then to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now, here's the thing is he's saying in the scripture here, look, be more ready to hear than to give. You ever heard somebody say, I'm not going to that church, all they want is my money? I've heard people say that. I've knocked on people's doors before. I've talked to them, and I've gone to visit people at their house, and sometimes that's one of the things they say when they're getting ready to leave the church. Well, all you're after is my money. And I tell people, well, that's not my intention. That's not what God's called me to do. At the same time, the Lord has different principles in his word of God about money. We're not going to be afraid to talk about those because those are things that are commandments of God, just like everything else. But at the same time, you've never heard me chase after you for your money. But they use that as an excuse. But that's what they're saying here in verse number one. He says, then to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. So what the scripture is saying here, in this story, the application is, it's foolish for them to think, hey, just because I've given a certain amount, then I can do whatever I want. We should be more ready to hear. And some people feel like they're entitled because of how much money they give, that they should be able to have certain decision-making power. They feel like they should have certain strengths, and they should be able to have their opinion known and more because they give more in the offering plate. And I, as you know me, I don't even know how much anybody gives except for what my family does, or at least for what me and my wife does. I don't even know what my sons give and things like that. And the reason why is because we want to hear from God. We don't want to hear just because someone can put more money in a plate, because it's saying that God would rather you come to church and ready to hear what he has to say than to give and then pretend like you don't have to listen to what he has to say. And there, you said, Pastor, who would do that? There's churches full of people. There may even be some sitting here tonight that would say, just because I'm giving to the church, I don't have to listen to the preacher, I don't have to listen to the word of God, I don't need to hear from God. And the answer to that is they're a fool. They're foolish. Let's keep on going. Verse number two. Then he continues on, not only just foolish in the sacrifice of fools. Remember, God said he'd rather have obedience than sacrifice in that first story of 1 Samuel when Saul tried to do the obedience his own way. He didn't do it God's way, but he says, yeah, I did obey. And Samuel's like, no, you didn't. He says, God would prefer to have obedience rather than sacrifice. And the same thing here. He'd rather not to have your gift. He'd rather have your heart. Your ear ready to hear. Verse number two, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. So you're going to see here in verses 1-7, over and over is this idea, don't make a vow unless you're going to pay it. Don't sit there and say, I'm going to do something, and then say you're not going to do it. The important thing here is being said is don't be caught up in your emotions. Make sure you're hearing from the Lord. Now, once again, our spiritual lives, it has to do with when God's speaking in our heart, and that can be emotional. But many times people will make emotional decisions not based off of what God has for them, but instead based off what their emotions are saying. They're hearing something and they're predicting something. You're going to see here, and it's that it's important. We need to hear from the Lord. It says, for God is in heaven. So that gives you the differences. The reason why we need to hear from the Lord is because God's in heaven. He's not like us. It's sort of like the model prayer when he says, our Father, which art in heaven. It clarifies, hey, who we're praying to is not our earthly father, is not our dads. They're limited. Our Father, which art in heaven, is the expression that I'm going before a God. I'm going before a God that can do all things. And when I'm praying and asking for something, it's not the same Father that's here in this world. It's not the same dad that I have, because even though he may be willing to help us, he can't sometimes. And I'm going before God, and I'm saying, our Father, which art in heaven. So the reason why we need to hear from the Lord is because of the fact that he's the one in heaven. He knows what he's trying to get accomplished here in this world. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's happening, everything that's going to happen, and he has a plan for your life. And he says, for God is in heaven, and he says, and thou upon earth. You're like, duh. Well, yeah, duh, but at the same time, why do we want to run our lives? Why do we come to church and we're saying, hey, I'm at the house of God, I'm here, I'm going to do things my way. No, he's saying, look, we need to hear from him because he's the one in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few No, don't get caught up in doing all the talking. Be still and know that he's God. Then it says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. I read that, and that a lot of different proverbs come to my mind. I love the one that says in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he beholdeth his peace, is counted wise. You know, sometimes if people would just learn to stay quiet, they wouldn't look so foolish. And it says, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. But what they're saying here in verse number 3, for a dream coming through the multitude of business, the people there, there's so many things going on. There's an expectation of what they should do and what they believe should happen. And then they turn around and he continues on and says, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Verse number 4, he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For ye have no pleasure in fools, pay that which thou hast vowed. If you're going to say something to the Lord, and you're going to say, God, this is what I'm giving to you, Lord, this is what I'm promising, you know what? You need to own up to it. As you've heard me make this saying before, it wasn't original with me. True revival would come if we would just do everything that we said we would to the Lord. True revival would come if we would do everything that we've ever said, God, this is what I will do. Because churches are filled with people that have made promises to God, and you know what happened? They turned their back. Maybe because of the fact that they don't want to follow through because it's hard or because it's tough or because they should have never vowed the vow to begin with. Verse number 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So what the scripture is saying here, it's better to never ever make the vow than to make a vow and then not pay it. That speaks about how God wants us to be honest with him. And I'm wondering if we would look back on our lives and maybe look at the different revivalist meetings we've been to or mission conferences we've been to or just regular services that God's spoken to our heart. Maybe we've even come to an altar and we told God, I'm never going to do that again. Or we told God, I'm going to begin to do this. Only to know that when we walk out the door, we throw that away. Those are the vows they're talking about, and not even just during preaching time. I know that the time that God speaks to my heart in the greatest way is when I'm studying his word. God reminds me of things and shows me things as I read it and as I study it, and as God impresses things upon my heart, I need to make sure that's from the Lord, because he's saying, don't be a fool. Even the book of Leviticus talks about making a vow and not paying it back. It's foolish, and don't do it. And then it says in verse number 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Once again, you see the tie-in together between the end of verse number 2, let thy words be few, and suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, means learn how to stay quiet. Learn to make sure that you're hearing from the Lord, and he is directing you, and he is leading you. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? You think about it, when you make a vow before God and you do it rashly and you do something that you, how many times have we seen people come up and say, you know, God's called me to this, a mission field or a pastorate or some type of ministry, only to find later on that they've turned their back on that. Now, don't get me wrong, do I think that sometimes God could call a pastor from pastoring a church to become a missionary? Sure. Do I think that God's plan and his purpose is, as long as you're willing to go and you're willing to do what God's called you to do, just be flexible and make sure you hear from the Lord when it comes to it. But how many times have we seen people turn their back on their vows and say, you know, I'm going to be here every time the doors are open, and then a few weeks later when it's not convenient, they were rash. It's not what the passages of Scripture is not saying here. It's not saying don't make a vow. It just says when you make a vow, make sure you're going to keep it. And I want to encourage you tonight, are you ready to hear from the Lord? Are you ready to open your heart to what God has for you? And maybe he's going to remind you tonight of some different things if you've given him over before. Maybe some different, hey, I'm going to give out a gospel tract every day, or I'm going to read my Bible every day, or I'm going to pray every day, or God spoke to my heart about giving this or giving this to missions. And many times we have made commitments to God and we've turned our back on it because of the fact that we feel like it's just God. Let's keep on going. It said, and you see here at the midway through verse number 6, should God be angry at thy voice He said, don't try to make an excuse. If God's worked in your heart and God's spoken to your heart and you made a vow, make sure that you continue to pay that vow. Verse number 7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words are there also divers vanities. We get back to that word vanity. You're talking about worthless things. And there's many different types of worthless things. And the multitude of dreams, things are, that God is not speaking about, that we have imagined on our own by much other business, as we talked about in verse number 3, the things that we have come up with. You know, when we're sitting there imagining things and trying to come up with it on our own, and the multitude of words, you get yourself stuck because you're talking too much, there is much worthlessness. And there's many different types of worthlessness. There's many different types of divers vanities. But then it comes down to verse number 7, but thou fear God. There's a perspective there. We're supposed to fear the Lord. We're not supposed to say something lightly and then turn around and do whatever we want. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help me tonight. Most people know me. I like to talk. And I know there's many, many words sometimes that come out of my mouth, and there's probably many times that I need to remain silent and just listen and learn. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts about the reason why we come to church. Lord, that we be more ready to hear. Lord, there is a lot of things we do. A lot of activities, a lot of fellowships, a lot of classes, a lot of good things. Lord, help us never to let that replace wanting to hear from you. Having a heart and a desire to come into your house more than anything, Lord, to hear from you on how to be a blessing to others, to hear from you on what we should do next, and that you lead us in our worship, and that you lead us in our prayers, that you lead us in our fellowship, that you lead us in our ministries. Lord, help us come seeking, desiring, looking for what you want us to hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just three simple things, and many of the things have already been alluded to already. The first thing is why we should go to church or go to the house of God. Why we should go to the house of God. All types of activities take place in church, but many of them have nothing to do with hearing the word of God. Now, I think everything should direct people to get to the gospel or get to a spot. When you go in the back tonight, there's going to be a kids program back there. There's master clubs, and you know what they're going to do at the end after they've already had their rally time and sung and praised the Lord a little bit, and then they had their book time where they've learned verses and they've done some of their book work. Then they're going to have a lesson time where someone will get up and they'll teach and preach the word of God. Then at the end, you know what they do? They go have a little bit of fun. Now, is a little bit of fun necessary? You know what? It's good. It's something that they enjoy, something they look forward to. But it's not the main most important thing. Even during game time, you can, and they use different types of objects and different types of things to reinforce the lessons. Same thing with the teens. They do their game time towards the beginning, and then they have a long preaching message that goes on back there. But if there wasn't a preaching time, then why show up? If there was not something that's trying to draw people in to be able to hear the word of God and be taught the word of God and help them understand, the whole point is that we're asking and we're begging God, please speak to my heart. And that's what he's saying in verse number 1. He says, be more ready to hear than to give. Now, you're not going to hear that from a TV preacher. Many of the TV preachers are going to say, hey, send me the money, everything's going to be okay. Send me this and we'll make sure we pray for you and all those other things. But Solomon has gone through it, and he's been through all this, and he says, I've been to the house of God. He's been to the temple. It's a beautiful place that was built, and he's went and he's watched all the vain things that are happening. He's watched all the vain things that he has experienced over these years, even probably at false temples or false gods with his wives. He's seen and he's watched all these religious things happen. And he says, it would be better that you listen to God than to give anything. Because when you give the sacrifice of fools, you're not even going to realize what you're doing is wrong. Now, I want to encourage you, should we give? The answer is obviously yes, we want to obey the Lord. When we're listening to God and God speaks to our hearts, then guess what's going to happen? He's going to tell us to do certain things. He's going to move us and motivate us to do certain things. And if we feel like we need a word from the Lord, all we got to do is read his word, and he gives us, he encourages us and teaches us. We have missions conference every year. And I tell you, as a missions conference, you know, we want God to hear from you. It's not just, does God speak through the pitchers? He does. Does God speak through the missionaries? He does. Does God speak through the keynote speakers? He does. But when you have that little piece of paper and you're making a commitment to faith promise, my greatest heart desire is that you would pin down exactly what God has laid upon your heart, because you came seeking and searching and looking for what God would have you to do when it comes to worldwide evangelism this upcoming year, because of how important it is to God and how important it is should be on your heart. I think we should come to church that way every single week. I think we should come with the anticipation, God is going to speak to my heart today. I'm not just coming to sit and do a role or play a role or cast in my offering in the offering plate. I'm not just going to show up. I'm coming with the anticipation that God will speak to my heart. And I am looking and asking and seeking. I want to be more ready to hear. What does it say in James 1:19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So we need to be swift to hear. Many times it's the other way. We're quick to speak. And that's what he's saying in the scriptures here. Hey, look, don't be rash with your mouth. Let not the heart be hasty unto the thing, anything before God. And it's because of the fact that we need to learn how to listen for the voice of God. Does God want to speak to our hearts? He does. Over and over in the scriptures, God uses circumstances to speak to our hearts. God uses scripture to speak to our hearts. God uses people to speak to our hearts. And that's how God assures us of the different things he desires for us to do. Not only is it why should we go to the house of God, the second thing is why we need to hear from God. Why we need to hear from God. And then you see here in verse number 2, I alluded to already, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. So what the scripture is saying, if you have the right view of God and you see God high and lifted up, like in the book of Isaiah chapter number 6, and when King Uzziah had died, Isaiah was a little bit down, and God gave him a vision of himself high and lifted up. And what happened afterwards? No longer is Isaiah feeling sorry for himself. No longer is he feeling sorry for the nation of Israel because they lost a good king. Instead, they saw that God was on the throne. And if God was on the throne, I don't really have to worry about anything. Yes, I'm supposed to pray. Yes, I'm supposed to serve. But if God is high and lifted up, the response will be, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, if I have the right perspective of God, if I have the right view of God, you know what? Everything else changes. And here the thing is, he is the one in heaven, and we are the ones here upon this earth. We do not know what exactly is going to be tomorrow. And you continue on, it says, therefore, let thy words be few. Instead of trying to speak about what should happen, instead, let God speak to your heart and work into your heart about what should be happening in our lives. I want to encourage you today, get the right image of God. Get the right view of God. It's all about the view you have of him. I want you to think about a biblical example of this. You go back to the book of Job. And in the book of Job, we know the story. He lost his wife. He lost all his kids. He lost his fortune. His wife told him to curse God and die. And then he has these friends that come. If you read those chapters and you hear all the different, there's one guy that talks for like 6 chapters. And then Job gets up there and Job begins doing talking. You know the only person that's not talking in all those chapters is? It's God. You know, all those things happened in Job, not because he needed to hear what his friends had to say, not because what he needed to hear his wife had to say, not even because he needed to, and later on, in a kind of a self-righteousness, he goes and he starts asking God and demanding things of God. And in Job chapter number 38 is one of the most interesting verses there. I'll read a few ahead of time. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He says, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. So Job's wife had a comment. Job's friends had comments. I don't know if you really call them friends, but they were trying to be friends. They were doing a lot of talking. You know who wasn't talking? You know who they were not listening to? It wasn't God. They weren't listening to what God has. You know, he's there and he's moaning. And Job then begins to talk. And then later on, you know what? Who talks? It's God. And he says this, and I think it's fascinating. I know we're going through the series with our consider for the theme this year, Great Questions of the Bible, and I've been praying all year long. I want to preach on that. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? And, I mean, what perspective is there? He's saying to Job, okay, Job, you want to tell me something? Job, you're going to demand something of me? You haven't even been silent long enough to hear from me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Did I ask you advice? And it comes to this perspective as so many times we get caught up when everybody else is saying, even what we feel like needs to be said, that we forget to be more ready to hear. And it's important that we learn to be more ready to hear. Job 42, verses 5 and 6, he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And Job was a great Bible character. We learn a lot from his story. But he was on his face in chapter number 42 and verse number 5, and he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing the ear. That means he had heard about him all throughout his life, but he says, now mine eye seeth thee. Many times I think people have been in church all their lives, and they've heard, and they go through a ritual, and it's more about religious type things than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they come to this moment, and they come to this spot where they said, now I can see what God wants me to do. It's because he's heard from God. He's heard something specifically that God has spoken to his heart. And this is something that he went through all this to learn something about himself. And he says, I repent in dust and ashes. And Job was the guy that was the perfect, the upright guy. He was skew of evil. And like I said, there's a lot we can learn from it. But he learned that he needed to hear from the Lord. After hearing everybody else, he came to the point where he realized, you know what? You're God. Not any thought can be withholden from thee. I understand something here. I need to learn to step back and be silent so I can hear what you want from me. We should be more ready to hear. Third thing is why we should care about what we say. Why we should care about what we say. And you continue on and you see in verse number 3, look, there's dreams that come through the multitude of business. A fool's known because of his multitude of words. And then he begins with this implication that, look, make sure you are serious about this vow. Don't play games with God. And that's exactly what I believe he's trying to say here. Why we should care about what we say is because he's God. He's going to hold us to those things. The first example that comes to my mind is Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they're there. They see that Barnabas gives this great gift. I'm assuming it's because of the attention that he received. They saw the notoriety he received. They saw the blessing and the acceptance that they saw. So they went and sold land, and they turned around and they said, hey, we're going to do what Barnabas did, but we're going to keep back a portion for ourselves. And as we keep back a portion for ourselves, we're going to lie to the Holy Spirit and we're going to lie to everyone else and make them feel like and think like it was the whole amount. You know, what they might have decided in their bedroom one night on their bed, they didn't think anybody else would have known. But there's a God in heaven that does know. There's a God, as it says in verse number 2, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. We need to hear from him because he's God and he's in heaven, and we need to have that right view of him because he's the only one that can lead us and direct us. We're not going to fool God. Our vows may impress some people. Our vows may get some amens. Our vows may get some people excited, but at the same time, God knows our heart. We should be careful about what we say because it's more important that we're ready to hear from the Lord than to be discouraged by making a vow, never paying back that vow, and having to get right with God and God having to go through chastising and God having to make you own up to it. You think about the story of Japheth, great judge in the Bible, really a great story. Remember that rash vow he made? He said, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to sacrifice unto the Lord. And, you know, different people feel different ways. It does say that he did sacrifice what first came out of his house. His daughter is the first one that came out of the house. And, you know, he was supposed to pay back that vow. He made a rash vow. And I don't want to encourage you to not make vows before the Lord, because that's not what the passages of Scripture are saying. It's saying don't make a vow unless you hear from God. Don't be signing up to do something unless you think it's what the Lord would have you to do. Don't be answering the call to preach or answering the call to go to missions. Don't be doing something under the guise of some type of many words and emotions. Instead, make sure you're hearing for the Lord. Make sure you're more ready to hear than you are to act. Make sure it's coming from God. And I'm sure that Japheth, the sadness that came upon his heart when his daughter came out praising and rejoicing the victory that he had over the Ammonites, took away all the joy. Christian, tonight, there's a lot of things we learn from the book of Ecclesiastes. One of the things we got to remember is anything we do without God's vain. Anything we do without God is worthless. And it's key to understand when it comes to spiritual things, it's even turning up the heat there. Try to do church without God, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be dead. It's going to be without works. It's going to be that something he doesn't bless. And I've told you before, I don't want a pastor of church that's dying. I want a pastor of church that loves the Lord. Numbers doesn't matter. But someone who's going to serve God and have a heart and come in here expecting that God's going to speak to my heart, expecting that God is going to do something in my life today, whether it's 2 people or 200 or 2,000 people, come with the thought, I want to be ready to hear what God has for me tonight. We should be careful what we say because many times our words get us in trouble. Look what it says in verse number 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. How many times have our mouth got us in trouble? My mouth's got me in trouble before. How many times have we had to go back and say we're sorry for something to somebody else because our mouth causes us to sin, causes our flesh to sin? And he's saying, consider that. Now consider the promises you've made to God. Is there something you should be paying God? Is there a vow that you've given? And I know sometimes we talk about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. And there are things that we're reaching for. None of us are ever going to get, we haven't, Paul never apprehended, Paul never reached, never, he was always pushing forth. There are sometimes goals that we're trying to do. And I understand that, but are we still working towards that? Are we still being honest with the Lord? Maybe God's laying something on your heart saying, hey, you remember when you said you were going to stop that or you're going to start this? Remember when you promised me this portion of your life? Remember when you said you would do this and you would go anywhere I told you to go? I think Jonah was a story of a prophet who told God, hey, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And God said, oh, really? I want you to go to Nineveh. He's like, I'm not going there. And what did God do? What did Jonah say? And I think it was Jonah chapter number 2. I will pay back the vows. He's saying, you know what? I'll pay back that vow. I think Jonah at one point in time in his life had made a promise to God and said, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And God sometimes reveals things to ourselves and saying, you know what? You say that, but do you really mean it? And sometimes when we make commitments to God, he is speaking to our hearts and he is saying, okay, you say that. This is what it might cost you. Does that mean Jonah should have never said that? Of course Jonah should have said that. He was a prophet of God. And earlier, it was easy. He got to prophesy about the borders getting bigger. It probably became popular for the prophecies that he had. And then when God said, you'll go wherever I ask you to go, then why don't you go here? I want to encourage you tonight. Be ready to hear from the Lord. I want you to take a few minutes and give some consideration about maybe different things that we've asked God or told God, hey, we're willing to do, that maybe we've fallen short at. And tonight, maybe we can have God speak to your heart and God say, make some new commitments. Don't do it because what the preacher said. Don't do it because a story or an illustration. Do it because you want to hear from God. Ask God to speak to your hearts. Now, at this time, we normally would have an invitation, but our pianist went back to the back. So we're still going to have an invitation, but we're going to just do it with some quiet. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, get in the quietness of your seat, spend a few minutes asking, number one, that God would speak to your heart, that you would have the right motives for coming to church, a desire to hear from the Lord. Then also ask God, is there something in my life that I've committed to you before in the past that I've fallen back on, that I need to get right and that I need to work on? and let God respond to you. If you want to come to the altar's open. If not, just spend a few minutes, and we're going to have our mission letter. We're going to have our prayer request time here in just a little bit, but spend a few minutes alone together with the Lord, asking him to make sure that you're more ready to hear than anything else, whether it's a service or a sacrifice. I want to hear from the Lord.